Hello gamers, and welcome to another exciting edition of Game Warp. I'm your host, as always, Edward Jones, and joining me, of course, is my partner in crime, Miss Kim Lowe.
Hello.
Tonight, we'll be highlighting our favourite costumes in video games. It's not so much about the characters, but about the clothes. And does the clothes make the person, or does the person make the clothes? These are questions we're probably going to find out the answer to as we go through our list of favourite video game costumes tonight. To kick things off, Kim, do you want to give us the first entry in your list?
Yeah, I mean, my first entry would be the Traveler from Journey.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the character itself, her or him, I don't know, because there's it's kind of like a genderless type of character, where you don't really have a face for this character, and it's basically just kind of like a dress of some sort. Like a cloak, and it represents so much. I think the simplicity and the whole thing looks so nice, and it's definitely very memorable, especially because this is a faceless character. That does it make the character is a really good question. Is it kind of like the character is this, but then the character is defined by its costume, really?
Yeah, certainly with Journey, it's one of those characters that you can put yourself into. As you said, it's hard to say if it's a male or a female character, and it's this very personal sort of journey that you go on in that game. So I like the idea that it's sort of fitting with the desert theme. It's got that sort of nomad look to it, and at the same time, it's easy to transfer yourself into it. Same with Abzu. It's very easy to transfer yourself into that little diver as you go swimming for the various oceans, so...
Yeah, but I also think, like, for the Traveler, it's really nice because the robe she wears, and they call it, like, the red robe, is basically the part of the game, because her scarf, or his scarf, the scarf will pretty much expand in size as you get in contact with other things. It kind of, like, the magic element comes in, right? So the costume becomes a part of the game mechanics into helping this character move around also. So it has a bit more of a fantasy element to it, I guess.
That's obviously a great one to kick off with. For myself, I'm going way back into sort of like my 486 days, and going to go with LeChuck from Secret Monkey Island, or the Monkey Island game, shall I say. LeChuck originally was introduced as a ghost pirate and has been cited as the influence of both Barbarossa and Davy Jones in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. And there's just something about the character LeChuck. I mean, he's changed from game to game. He's been a zombie, he's been a ghost, he's been a giant stone statue. As I say, he just seems to change from game to game. And there's just something about the way he looks. He's got that very sort of traditional pirate element to him. But at the same time, he's got a lot of pomp to him, which just makes him such a great villain. And certainly when you look at the way he's sort of dressed, he's obviously got that traditional sort of captain pirate garb, but it just sort of makes him stand out when you add the personality of LeChuck to him. Much like every character in Monkey Island, they have these sort of very stereotypical pirate sort of looks, but at the same time, they're just completely wacky, being a LucasArts sort of game. And LeChuck's just... embodies everything that is great about Monkey Island, and every time I sit and see that character design, it just takes me straight back to playing those games where you win sword fights by throwing insults rather than your sword fighting ability, and just those sorts of random sort of moments. So yeah, LeChuck is my first choice.
That's a really good one. It's such a diverse character too, so it because it's been in, you know, like you said, ghosts and zombies and other forms.
Yeah,
so the costume has so much possibility and diversity to it.
It does, and I love the thing. It's like in the start of the third game, and the fourth game, and it like recounts like his various encounters with LeChuck, and it goes through all the different versions. So it's all like Ghost LeChuck, then Zombie LeChuck, and then Demon LeChuck, and where he's got like the flaming beard. And the fact that even though they make these little tweaks to his character, or they change his aesthetic, there's something that, although there's so many elements that remain the same and that just so recognizable to this character, and I think just the fact that they managed to make him so diverse and constantly change things is, will be the same for a couple of other characters on this list. There's just something about that core outfit that just really always appeals to me. What's next on your list, Kim?
For my next one, I am going to go with Maya Faye from the Phoenix Wright games.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's very... I feel like I'm going through this theme right now because Maya is also very similar to the Traveler in the sense that her costume is... Her outfit is very pretty much part of her religion because she, of the Fae clan where they have this Karain type of thing and... I don't know what you call it anymore. And because of that, the Karain village, this is how she dresses in this, like, purple type of dress, I guess. Mm. And it's so... I think it's so because of just even the matching with her haircut and her little... she has little necklaces that has the symbol. All these things that she starts to have eventually comes into play as different abilities start showing up for different games as it goes further, giving not only her outfit but giving her character also lending it to a lot of game mechanics because her basic, because she's a spirit medium, she has so much more to offer, I guess. In the sense that she's able to start seeing things, and as her powers get stronger, I mean, I guess in some ways, if you think about it, there's so much uniqueness to the outfits and like memorable elements of the outfits of a lot of characters in Phoenix Wright. And I actually went through a really hard time trying to figure out who to use, because even if you think about Phoenix Wright himself, it's just a blue costume, like blue suit, but like when you see the blue suit, you know who he is, and I think that's so great in the sense that even when you think about it, these things are so fun. Like the outfits are so fun that when they did the movie adaptation,
yeah,
they actually kept all the outfits and all the looks of these characters. Which I thought was pretty crazy because, you know, these characters, some of them are just really ridiculous in general.
It's funny when you obviously mention, like, the Takashi Miike remake, because he does just transfer every single character from the game into a sort of live-action, real-life version. And her character, there was something about it that just seemed real plausible compared to, like, when you look at Phoenix Wright with his big hair or the fact that you've got several of the rival lawyers who look like French aristocrats and things like that. So the fact that her outfit's like seems pretty normal is really saying something.
Yeah, but I think that, you know, in some ways, even if we look at it, I actually struggle the most because Maya is such a great character in the game, and I really do love her outfit because you spend so much time watching this type of watching the game. But as the game goes further on, and you have these other sidekicks show up with like Apollo Justice, and later on there's another one that I haven't played, but I've seen a lot of snippets of. And these two characters, I think one of them is Emma Sky, and Emma Sky is also has really cool outfit. It's a little bit more modernized, but it's those little things that they add to her, just like I think the other one was Athena Sykes or something like that, and I can't remember. And these little, they add little things like, oh, she has like these pink glasses, or she has like these I think she has like a head accessory or something. And it's really, really, all these characters are so unique because of just how, I guess in a certain over-the-top way they're portrayed, but at the same time, they also add a little wackiness to it.
Yeah, definitely so. I mean, I need to really dive back into the Ace Attorney games. I think it's, like, available on, like, most platforms now. I think you can even, like, play it on your mobile, so.
Yeah, the most of the games are available on mobile now, except for the 3DS one, so the Dual Destinies, where they did the... it was the one with where they did the crossover with Professor Layton. That one isn't available. Yeah, And I think there was another one that wasn't transferred over. Because yeah. I'm trying to catch up with the games after the fourth one. So I'm currently catching up.
Okay. I've just looked it up now, and you can actually buy through AliExpress, you can buy the outfit. It's like a cosplay costume.
Yeah.
And it's only 60 quid, which is pretty damn reasonable. And goes up to 3XL. So... or double XS. So if you're like really tiny or tall, then you're covered. So
yeah. So what's your next pick?
My next pick is another oddball one. I'm going to go with Candy Corn from Costume Quest. Costume Quest is a really sort of cutesy RPG. We did the second game here on the show for one Halloween, and in the game you play a bunch of kids who are fighting an evil dentist and have the ability to transform into whatever their costumes are. So if you dress a pterodactyl, you have turn into a pterodactyl. Or if you turn into like a skeleton, there's all these different great costumes. And then you have the candy corn, who has the ability to do nothing. It just means you're one character short every time you enter into a fight, and every time it goes to their turn, it just comes up with some witty little line that says, "Candy Corn has a prior engagement," that just sits there. And I think, I don't know, it's something about the just sheer uselessness combined with just the fact that they're basically saying that this candy corn just can't be bothered. They just really appeal to me every time. And there's an achievement if you just play with the candy corn all the way through the game, which I realized about halfway through Costume Quest 2, just how tough that is. But there's just something so enduring about candy corn that I just... it just made it like one of my favorite questions. I think even if I wasn't going for the achievement, there's just something about fielding it that just has a real sort of sense of self-assuredness to it.
For sure. I mean, I still remember playing that game. And I think that the best part of a game like this is really the fact that when you have candy corn in there, it becomes so wacky. and it's it's hard to imagine. It's almost like a little secret that you get, right? You play this and it adds difficulty, but I don't know. Who doesn't want to be candy? You know, who doesn't want to dress up as candy? And then you think about it and you're like, well, why didn't we want to do an outfit from Candy Crush?
This is something about, like, any of the, you could have used pretty much any of the costumes from Costume Quest, because they're all sort of like classic sort of costumes, and the fact that they all have these really great abilities, so when you enter into different fight scenes, it's all like, oh, what ability am I going to get with this costume? So seeing your three little child heroes that you guide around from level to level, just dressed in the different outfits that you collect along the way, is just something so appealing. But yeah, the candy corn, it looks great when it's on your character, and it looks even more stupid when you're in a fight with it, because it's just a giant candy corn that has opinions.
When you put it that way.
It's yeah. But what's your next one, Kim?
My next one is... I don't even know. Okay. My next one is going to be May and Cody from It Takes Two. I know it's kind of like cheating, but I think that it's such like, if you were to go to, say, a Halloween party, this would be like a good couples type of thing to go as. Because I think It Takes Two is so early too, right? Because the game just came out at the beginning of the year. So a lot of people are still catching up, or, you know, finding someone to play this game with, although it shouldn't be too hard considering you can play it with a friend and they don't have to buy the game.
There's a big advantage of that studio's like ideas about doing the couch co-op, the fact that you can just give like a mirror version of the game to a friend so that they can join you. I really love that.
Yeah. And you know what I really like is their costume is really basic, in the sense that it's basically just rag dolls. So it's just torn up like wool shirts and like weirdly stitched pants that seem like they've been mended a million times. But something about the ruggedness of it really creates this characters, you know, like they really build, and it's very memorable, the costumes themselves, because even when you see the little details of the shirts having these little buttons on them with leaves, and like for Cody, and like the blue button for May, and all these things kind of have this effect of kind of reflecting that character, and I really like it because I think that it's so interesting. Like even the hair is like even the hair is reflective of it because it's a rag doll, and the little accessories that they have, like Cody has like a leaf in his head or something. And eventually you learn about these characters, and then they kind of not the costumes also reflect their characters a lot too. They're not just like cute little outfits.
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few cute doll sort of characters out there. I mean, you can obviously look at Sackboy from Little Big Planet. You can also look at the characters from Unravel.
Yarny.
Yarny, which was one of our first games we ever reviewed here on the show. And still something real charming about having this little yarn man who runs around. But no, I think that's a really good choice. I've still got to play the game. But there again, I suppose I've got to find someone who can play games around here, so. So, yeah, that's really good. So you got your couple's costume sorted then, so.
Yeah, so what's your next pick?
My next one is Sakura from Street Fighter, who she first appeared way back in Street Fighter Alpha 2, and was marked the fourth female character to be added into the game. Previously, we had obviously had Chun-Li, and we had Cammy, and we had Rose, and Sakura marked the fourth, with the general idea being that they wanted to make a character who they essentially saw as cool. And basically, the weirder characters like Eddie Honda had sort of like lost their cool edge to a lot of the younger employees of the company. So when it came to creating this character, Akira Ackerman Yasuman basically said about just the whole idea when he came to creating Sakura was just that he wanted to create was going to basically have this cool female character. And while she's renowned for having like the traditional sailor uniform, her original design saw in like a kimono shirt and hakama pants, but that was sort of traded out for just now the iconic Japanese sailor outfit. And at the same time, I like the fact that it's not just, oh, let's put a Japanese schoolgirl into the game. They actually give her a bit of a tough edge. She's got the boots on, she's got the fighting gloves, and she's got the Ryu sort of bandana. And yes, I mean, her character does obviously idolize Ryu, so there's elements there that carry across. But compared to Ryu, I mean, Ryu makes his costume. Sakura is just a really cool costume that also happens to be on a really great character. Because let's see, if you took Ryu's character away from that costume, and what, it's just traditional punch kick man, isn't it, really? It's can be from any number of early fighting games, but with Sakura, it's as I say, it is the sort of hip young character that was they clearly felt was needed for that game. And at the same time, she's not got the awkwardness that, like, when you look at Cammy's costume, which becomes even more awkward when you realize her father in the game wears the same costume. And while Chun-Li's obviously a very iconic character, there was just something about Sakura that just goes slightly above Chun-Li and her outfit.
Yeah, I think I agree with that because like it's I had thought about Chun-Li, but if you think about it, Chun-Li's character is basically a Chinese outfit, kind of. So it's not really too unique, but it is very unique to her because who doesn't recognize Chun-Li when she's wearing that costume with her little hair thing on?
Yeah, and you constantly see it's like whenever you have like UFC fighters and the like Street Fighter fans, they'd be like, they turn up and they like dress up as Chun-Li. It's always like if they're gonna, you have a female fight and she chooses to dress up a character, it's always Chun-Li that they turn up as. So,
but I mean, Sakura is different because it's not, you know, it's very unique because they don't only twist the school uniform type of concept, but they also change it to like a you know, like you said, a sailor uniform, and you can see a lot of little details that they add in there where I think she has like little shorts under, like red shorts or something under. Yeah. And all these things I think really kind of give her that uniqueness, and I think that that's a really good comparison to make because I think she's kind of like the female version of Ryu. But I mean, when you think of, it's like you said, Ryu is really just wearing a karate costume.
Yeah, it's just a gi, so, isn't it? And then we have Ken, who's just like the long-haired white version of Ken, of Ryu. Yeah. But he's like, oh, here's a white fight. Here's the white gi version. Here's the red gi version. But no, they're different characters. It every time I look at those two, I just think of IK Plus, like that really janky karate fighter that was on the Amiga. And it just, oh, the like early sort of fighting games just seem to be embodied by Ryu and Ken. So, but yeah, Sakura, as I said, there's just something that's never been lost about that. And even though they've obviously moved away in the later games from that sailor outfit, there's just the original look for it is just so cool. And something that I don't think has never really sort of lost its appeal for myself.
Yeah, so the next one that I picked is going to be Chris Bell from Chris Tales. It's also fairly new. I mean, Chris Tales was recently released on Game Pass. I don't know whether it was released on anywhere else. But, I mean, I really like the design of all the characters of Chris Tales. They have the, I don't know if it's just because of the art style of the game that really makes it stand out, but I think Chris Bell is so interesting because her character is basically in this outfit where it's like this blue dress, and then she has these like green armbands, and then these black tights, and just very like flashy colors. And because of the, there's this, like, she also wears a flower in her hair and stuff like that. And I just really think it's such an elegant character. And when you think about this character having to go, and then you you have this thing where she eventually is a fighter. So she gets out of these clothes, eventually change, much like, you know, her hairstyle and a part of, like, her dress is also changed. It's very, I just think her character is just so interesting to look at in that sense. Like, I think all these characters, actually, when you go through everyone, it looks so nice. Everybody has these, like, very colorful outfits, but they still have this type of uniqueness to it.
Nice. It's the one, no one I played yet, so obviously I need to check that out. But, yeah. I think that's the great thing about Game Pass. It's exposing us all to a bunch of games that we never probably would have looked at otherwise. So, at the same time, giving us a spotlight for more indie titles like After Hours.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, Chris Tales is one that I have had my eye on for a while. I mean, granted, I've only played very, very little of it till now, but it is definitely one that I do plan to finish. But I think that, you know, it's like I said, I think the outfits are so cute for all of them. They're both cute and elegant, but it's so weird because you're playing this RPG, so
yeah.
It's very odd to be seeing this go on at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, whenever you have RPGs, they tend to go, for whatever reason, they tend to use it to go pretty out there with, like, the outlandish designs as possible, be it in terms of weapons or in costume design. I think normally when you look at the RPGs, it's when you get some really interesting costume design. And certainly with Chris Tales, I think I can, as I say, it's got that cute edge, but also that little bit of danger to it, which is kind of nice to see. So, okay. For my next pick, it's from a game I don't particularly like, but I know a lot of you kids out there do. but I absolutely love this costume design. I just wish it was in a better game. And that's the Big Daddies from Bioshock. The Big Daddy is the heavy guardians of the Little Sisters that protect the wonderful underwater landscape that you must battle through. And basically, they're just big, like, monstrous diving outfits. But there's just something about these characters that, while it's obviously a very cool design, it also has a lot of presence when it's on the screen. They've worked in the sound design, so it's got these big, heavy sort of footsteps. And the fact that it has this very clear relationship with the Little Sisters, these adorable little sort of like weird zombie girls, that get very upset when you bump off of them and go, "Mr. Bimbo." There's something about the Big Daddy design that I've always really liked. I've even thought about getting with the figurines to my desk, and I realized that it probably take up more shelf than most of the stuff on there at the moment. So it's more of a bookend. But yeah, I love the Big Daddy, but never got into Bioshock. So
yeah, Big Daddy is such an iconic character in general, right?
Yeah,
I think that it's the staple of Bioshock, even more than the Little Sisters, because when you see this whole character, it's such a, I don't know, it's like a monolith. Such a big character, and it has so much. I don't know. I think it's just such a wonderful design. I mean, you need to have like a downright mechanic to put together this costume, but I mean, this is an impressive one. I feel like I have yet to see this a lot of people doing this cosplay. I have yet to see it.
I think I've seen it a couple of times, but at the same time, they kept for years they were talking about, oh, we're going to do a live action version, and they had all these mock designs for the suit they were going to do for the Big Daddies, and it just even in person, it just gets more impressive than it does in the game. But certainly when you, the whole world that it's, as I said, that it's set in, it's just so fantastic. Rapture, where you've got obviously this 1940s design aesthetic, and at the same time you've got all these mutant splicers and running around because everyone essentially went sort of mad, and then you've got, as I said, these big enforcers, the Big Daddies and the Little Sisters, that just sort of form this sort of central key part of the game. And I just, as I say, it's just something about the Big Daddies, or the more lighter versions, the Big Sisters, which are sort of the more speedier versions. But right from when this game was first, we're getting the first shots of it, I saw the design of the Big Daddy, and I was like, I just want to know what this is about. It was just something that you're just so drawn to it, and you can see why they made it the cover star of the game, rather than just going, the generic sort of FPS sort of cover of some faceless being shooting a bunch of stuff. But with Bioshock, they just obviously had the Big Daddy cover, because that's what we all came to see, and that's why it's on my list.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really great outfit, because it reflects this type of steampunk thing, and I really think that steampunk inspired outfits are really impressive and do add a very special design in that way.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's also, the outfit itself also has weapons that are attached to it. And I think that that's also really interesting, because then you think about it as when we eventually get around to doing our weapon episode, would you add Big Daddy in there again, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, with Big Daddy, I mean, it's got a big drill arm, which is pretty cool. It's that's not something we've seen before. I mean, normally they just have it as a big power glove or something like that. But the Big Daddy has a big pneumatic drill, which is just a really cool design. And it's even used to great effect in some great set pieces in the game as well. So,
yeah.
Cool. What about yourself, Kim? What's next?
Well, the next one is going to be my fifth pick, which should be my final pick, right?
Yep.
And for my final pick, I mean, I'm going to stick with the first one that came to my mind. And I know I put Little Nightmares in number one for everything because it's, like, my favorite game ever. But I have to put the Yellow Raincoat of 6 as my first pick. And I have more, like, as I go through, I know that I finished a game a while now, and first and second game, and it's, and still, I still look up theories, and I try to check out different things, and I've been actually playing the mobile game, Very Little Nightmares, and the Yellow Raincoat has so much significance, because not only is it our identifier for 6, but in reality, the character in the mobile game is called the girl in the Yellow Raincoat.
Yeah.
But it's after some theories and whatnot, I haven't forgotten the end to it, but as I was looking through some of the stuff is, she's not the same person as 6. So the raincoat is an identifier for even the world itself that it's in. So I think that's such an interesting little piece of not only as an outfit, but for the world itself, because it's multi-purpose and it reflects where they're at, right? They're always in these, like, wet places, the maw, and then you have the pale city, which is rainy all the time, and that sort of thing. And I think it's so simple, because everybody, I think, when they were younger or whatnot, had raincoats. And I think that even when you look at, like, especially when you look at movies like It, the little boy is wearing a yellow raincoat,
it
right?
It is, isn't he?
Yeah. So it's such a, it's such an iconic type of simplistic type of outfit, but yet for Little Nightmares, they've really been able to use it to their maximum, right? At the same time, I mean, we've talked about this before, where it also could be used as kind of like a, I don't know, a best buddies outfit for a costume party, where you go as 6 and then you go as Mono, and then you just have a have like a trench coat, a tattered trench coat with a paper bag on your head as Mono. And that's, and that, and that's pretty cute too, right? I think like there's so much possibility, and sometimes I think that when you look at a costume like this, you remember that sometimes not the most complicated things is a really good costume. Sometimes even when you dial it back to the essence of what it is, it also is pretty good.
Definitely, I think 6 is a fantastic character, and even more fascinating outfit as well. And the fact that her yellow raincoat is like the one little bit of color that we have in these very gray and drab worlds. And it projects this idea of innocence to this character who's got a very sort of dark side to her, as we see throughout both games. And I remember when we were like putting these lists together, and you're like, oh, I'm gonna have Rainbow Six, I'm gonna have six from Little Nightmares. I was like, damn it! It's so good, I wish it was mine. I do like Mono as well. As I said, the paper bag headed boy is just really great as well, and I think he was a great foil for 6. The two characters worked really well together, because obviously when we looked at Little Nightmares 2, it's sort of like, well, how's this going to fit into the world? And these two characters just work so well together, and I think with Mono, it somehow managed to be even more innocent than 6. And no matter what, whenever I look at the character 6, and it's like when you see in the second game and she's just introduced as a little girl, and then you see her put the raincoat on, it's like that instant recognition of who she is. Was just a real great fanboy moment for myself. So, carry on.
Yeah, but I was just saying, it's because, you know, when you think about Little Nightmares, even the villains themselves are actually in costume the entire time, because all the villains are wearing masks. Oh, well, I mean, not all of them, but I mean, a lot of them are wearing some form of mask and some form of outfit, which is not their true face.
Yeah.
And I think that when you look at Little Nightmares as a whole, there's so much possibility in not only choosing the villains, per se, or 6 or whatnot. And that, I think, is really, character design in general, putting so much, you know, thought into all these characters and this world that really kind of gives it all these possibilities. I think more for Little Nightmares, the first one, than the second one, since I think the second one, mostly everybody was, well, they were mostly covered up. Even when you think about the Hunter, he was all wrapped up. His face was all wrapped up.
Yeah, because they were all like hollow beings, really, weren't they? They were all just having all their essence sort of sucked out for the TVs. And like yourself, I still think about both those games. And they're not like games with like masses of plot and huge cutscenes. It's like very straightforward platformers, and you take all these elements from the game and you look at the mythologies and fan theories online, and it's just so much fun to put it together and try and figure out what it all means. But if you were going to do like the sixth costume, do you just have her in the yellow do you just go for the yellow raincoat, or do you go with like the music box as well?
I think you'd have to have the music box or like the eye symbol or something somewhere. Yeah. Because then that would really like define this character. It's the fact that her outfit is not just like a normal raincoat. It has that like little face part. Like the hood itself is uniquely designed to a certain way. So I think, I don't know. I mean, you'd have to do something that relates to the thing, but to the game itself, to really make it stand out.
Yeah, I love the fact when they gave her the music box in the second one. I think it was just a really great item, because she has like the lighter in the first one, and then in the second one she obviously has her music box, which is the only thing that gives her comfort. So, and then we obviously get Monster Six, who's just like six but just really big. Yeah.
And now your final pick?
My final pick, I mean, I've been going back and forth over this list, but there's one character who I feel their costume contributed so much to the series, and that is Scorpion from Mortal Kombat. Or to better put it, the palette swap ninjas from Mortal Kombat. Because with Scorpion and Sub-Zero, they are essentially the same costume, but they just palette swapped them, and this they did, I don't know, about another six or seven times throughout the game, as they introduced more ninjas with different colored palette, with the same outfit but just palette swapped it. So we had Reptile, and we had Rain, and Noob Salot, and they just somehow, even though the color, it was the same costume but just the colors changing, we just bought them as these completely new characters. And yes, they did it to an extent with both Katana and Molina, who were essentially the same characters with different weapons. But this is something about Scorpion, how he's evolved as a character throughout the game, much like Sub-Zero. As the games have obviously had more power behind them, they've added new elements. When we look at like Mortal Kombat X, and he's got the sword, and he's got all these details on his outfit, and just the evolution of this character, much less the fact that when he takes his mask off, he's got a big skull head. So he's kind of like a Ghost Rider. And just right from this, like that first game, and you're like looking at this roster of characters, I think it was like him and Sub-Zero and Raiden were like the ones that stood out. And then you go off and watch the Mortal Kombat movie, and Kano becomes your favorite. So, because he is the greatest character. But no, Scorpion, just for being the first character that obviously led to so many clones in the game, just because developers needed new characters and were kind of lazy. But his whole costume just came about because they were in the martial arts shop and saw this ninja outfit, and they're like, yep, we use that in the game. And then we wanted another character that just changed the color in the game, so he became Sub-Zero. So, but yeah, Scorpion, a cool character with a very cool costume. And when we went into lockdown, everyone's like complaining about wearing masks. It's like, why are you complaining? You get to go and get groceries dressed as Scorpion or any of the other palette swap ninjas you want from that game. So, yeah.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But I mean, like, yeah, I mean, Scorpion is pretty much like the face of Mortal Kombat in some ways, right? I mean, it's such an iconic costume in the sense that the outfit itself is so, it's simplistic but memorable also. I think it's just so defining of the character, and you know, with the mask and everything.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking about some other characters. I was thinking about how some characters with masks look so good, you know, like in other games. I mean, there was one character, I think, most of the characters in Code Vein, which also was the same thing, which had really wonderful costumes. And then you add on the mask, and then that kind of brings out the world itself again. But in this one, I think it adds so much character to Scorpion also. And during the different games and the different outfits, you really start seeing, like, the little subtle changes that they make in the design that's on him, keeping the same color palette. But also, you know, matching up with whatever changes in his mask as well.
Yeah, definitely so. I mean, we could do a whole other list just on mask characters, because now you obviously mentioned about the mask characters. I mean, you've got the cast of Persona 5 who all wear masks. You've got, like, Dollface from Twisted Metal. There's so many great mask characters out there. I think it's probably a list for another day that we need to go through and start highlighting some of our favorite mask characters. Because it's not easy to put emotion behind a mask, yet somehow they take that sort of classic ninja trope and give it so much character, even before we got into, like, the later games where we have all this, like, computing power behind it. Like, when we look at, like, the original sort of first couple of games, and it's just, like, everything you're putting across is, like, how this character acts, how he fights, like, the moves he does, and everything that Scorpion does is sort of, like, only emphasized by that, how cool that sort of, like, costume looks and how it moves, and like when you throw a spear and stuff, it feels like it's part of that costume. So yeah, while we could obviously go with any of the palette swap ninjas from the game, I think Scorpion is going to be the ninja of choice for this list. Should we do some also rounds? I mean, who else would have been on your list if you had unlimited space, Kim?
Well, I mean, like, honorable mentions, I guess. Like I said, I mean, Code Vein was definitely one. I have already talked about how much I like 2B and Nier Automata. I think 2B is really, her outfit is just so pretty. It's just this extravagant black dress. And I just think it's so beautiful, though. Because, you know, you have to think about the fact that she's wearing it on an Android and whatnot, and all this is so, I just love the design of the whole thing. Much like, I haven't played Final Fantasy 10 or 12, but I really like Yuna's design. Her costume is so beautiful. I think it's more in 12 where she has that side skirt. And I really, really love that outfit. I like this so much that I've never played the game, but I have the character model of it at home.
Nice.
And I mean, I also was looking at Kat from Gravity Rush, which has this black kind of bodysuit.
Okay.
Where, with, like, I don't know if it's shorts or whatnot, and then she has these little, the whole costume is with these gold designs on it, and the gold kind of twists around her legs as well, and it's such a beautiful outfit.
Great. Anything else?
Yeah, I think my last one would probably be, I think the one that I almost put on the list was Alice from American McGee's Alice or Alice Madness Returns. It's kind of a twist on, it's kind of like a horror twist on the Alice in Wonderland that we know.
Yeah.
With the Disney version where, you know, she's in a blue dress with the kind of, like, is that a white apron or something? And in this one, it's she's pretty much the same, but as she enters into Wonderland, she has kind of a different costume in the real world, and then in her, which is, like, more dark and, you know, darker tones. But when she goes into the fantasy world, she also has that whole outfit, which is the classic kind of dark blue and with the apron and stuff, but hers is completely bloodstained. And I think that outfit is also really nice. A game that is incredibly hard to find, but I've always liked the character that she is, because I remembered when, even when her character jumps and stuff, there's like little butterflies that come out or something.
Oh, nice.
I can't remember. Yeah, so it's a very, very memorable character design, but at the same time, I really think like the design of the dress is such a darker twist of the Alice in Wonderland that we know.
Yeah, it's like when Tim Burton did the Alice in Wonderland films, it's sort of like this was the Alice that I would expect him to go with. But instead he just went weird and sort of day glow, the same way they did with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. It's sort of like, no, we kind of wish he'd like stood in the old gothic thing, Tim. So if he would like done it like around the sort of Beetlejuice sort of years, I think, as I say, it would have been great, because he probably would have lent more into this sort of design. And yeah, I really love the twisted version that American McGee brings to the games, and apparently he's working on the third one at the moment, so
hopefully, because maybe that'll like make the second one more accessible.
It's in on Game Pass at the moment.
Well, it's not on the PC Game Pass, right. And it's not on cloud gaming, so
okay. So what we need you to do is to buy Kim an Xbox. Okay, as for myself, as I said, I kept moving things around. One of the ones that nearly made the list would be Harley Quinn from the Arkham games. Whether you look at her in Arkham Asylum, where she's got the sort of like the twist on the nurse outfit, or you look at her in the Arkham City games, where it's more like a street sort of fun game, there's just something great about what they did with those designs, because up until that point we kind of knew her more as just having the traditional Harley Quinn outfit, and with those games they sort of took a chance. They kept a lot of the makeup the same, but obviously gave it more of a themed twist based on the environment that she's in, and I think it really sort of worked for those games. I think it made it look, it sort of worked perfectly with the world that they were creating in those games, and just gave her such an iconic look, and I think opened the door in many ways to the Harley Quinn that we now have in like Suicide Squad and the Margot Robbie sort of version. So, but that would be certainly another one sort of stand on my list, much like Mad Moxie from the Borderlands games, who's kind of like a circus barker but has those sort of post-apocalyptic elements in there, and it's one that I see quite often on the sort of cosplay circuit. But there's just something about the design of this character just sort of like really makes it stand out. And I think when it comes to the Borderlands games, they're always done really well when it comes to creating female characters, be it like Tiny Tina or like Jay the Siren. It's for some reason the female characters always stood out a lot more than the male characters, and Mad Moxie way back in the original game was like a prime example of that. So and then obviously if you want to go like a little more obscure, you can go for Professor Genki from Saints Row, who's kind of like a mascot cat. He hosts a he hosts a game show called Professor Genki's Super Ethical Reality Climax in the third game, and it's probably one of the few things I like about the Saints Row game, because I always thought they were kind of like knockoff GTAs, even though there's fans of them out there who like swear blind. Just the fact the camera was just so on top of your characters always took me out of those games, and then they just went completely through caution to the wind. While GTA was getting more realistic, Saints Row just got more and more out there, to say the least. So, but yeah, those would be my honorable mentions, really. So,
awesome, really good picks.
Cool. Right, well, that brings us to the end of tonight's show. Thank you for joining us as always. Thanks to my co-host Kim. And let us know what your favourite video game costumes are. Let us know who would have made your list, as we'd love to hear from them. You can check out our blog, which is
gamewarpblog.wordpress.com.
Thank you. We're also on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, so come and say hi to us there. And make sure you click the like and subscribe button wherever you happen to be listening to us. And leave us a rating. Let us know what you think of the show. It all helps raise the profile of the show. But until next time, thank you for listening, and we'll be back again very soon. Good night.